You know, he doesn't want to cut a pound. His body won't let him cut a pound. Well, then you better win the tournament, okay?
That's BS. That's bull crap.
He's got some big balls, man.
You zip your lip, you shut your mouth, and you open your ears. That's how you win. That's how you get better.
Win, you live, lose, you die.
Oh, great intro. Podcast listeners, on today's podcast, we have a one Jim Harshaw, who is currently a fundraiser at the University of Virginia for the Athletics Foundation, and Brian Muir, who we all know and love as our resident line maker. Enjoy. Jim Harshaw, how are you, bud?
Good. Dr. Foley, how are we doing?
Doctor. I'm doing well. So I just got an email from you. You were trying to hit me up for cash.
Yes.
Now you know that I donate what I can, $1 to $2 million a year,
okay.
Mostly in nickels.
A slight increase, $2 million will be fine for now.
They'll be fine. Is that my X mark? Is that like the mark that we have behind the scenes?
Yeah, it's kind of the standard here at UVA. You know, cool, $2 million, and then we go from there.
I think that's perfect. Is it? It's fine that I pay in nickels.
Yeah.
I lost a bet to Scott Moore, our senior or our fifth.
Why would
year?
You ever bet against Scott Moore? Scott Moore has won more things than. I just came from a staff meeting, the Christmas staff meeting, and we were talking about how Scott won like the big screen TV a few years ago. So Scott wins everything.
He just won. I think his wife just said they won like free gas for. Heating gas.
And that surprises you? Yeah.
How does he win everything? It was a $20 bet, but I was so...
He won the trip to, like, the Bahamas from the NWCA convention a few years ago.
He did.
That's how he rolls.
It's so weird that he has that much luck. He won on... Yeah, he beat me in some... I forgot what the bet was. It might have been something as stupid as who can get more pins in their senior season, but he won a $20 bet, and I went to the... And I got nickels, and I paid him... 400 nickels, which weighs a considerable amount. Because it's Thomas Jefferson.
Yes, that's right. TJ.
You're not really supposed to say
TJ. We call him around here.
So Jim Harshaw is, for podcast listeners who don't know, he is an All-American from Virginia, 1998 All-American.
Niner.
1999, like I said. Why did I say 98? Oh, Crafty was 98, right?
No, Crafty was 94. And then we didn't have any All-Americans until
99.
Matt Roth and I were All-Americans.
You and Matt Roth.
And then Garland the next year.
You know why I say that? It's because I always mess up graduating year as opposed to the year that you come into school.
Yeah. Fourth year was 98 and fifth year was 99 for me.
So Jim Harshaw was an All-American 99 for the University of Virginia. And then he also he was the head coach of Slippery Rock, assistant coach at Virginia, and is now and a very successful businessman. And he's now hitting me up for money, raising cash for UVA. And I think that's really interesting for a lot of people because we're always talking about money in college wrestling. It's always never enough money. Money's not coming from the right places. You know, we're half nonprofit, but some programs are profitable. Like, when you see it, like when you're up in, you know, when you're looking at the actual dynamics of who's giving, how much they're giving, where the money goes, you know, what are some things that we don't see, that I don't see?
I think one big thing that Olympics, first, one big thing that the sort of the wrestling community has to understand, but not just the wrestling community, but Olympic sports in general, and the wrestling community always sort of sees it as wrestling doesn't get enough funding, and wrestling this, wrestling that, we always get pushed to the bottom, et cetera. But it's like, that's every Olympic sport says the same thing. When you really start working with coaches of other programs and other sports, you see it. You see that sort of mentality in a lot of Olympic sports. They feel like they're not getting enough funding. Well, so it's not just wrestling, first and foremost. It's not getting the marketing behind it, the marketing dollars and the all the budget dollars and stuff like that you see football and basketball getting. Well, football, far and away, is the cash cow. Even at you know, schools like Duke, their football program brings, you know, you think about basketball there, but their football program brings in so much money, you know, is responsible for that. And so we spend a lot of our time, you know, I'm working in development now, and spend a lot of our time working with our donors that raise money, that donate money in order to get better football seats and better parking and that for football games. And that money comes into the athletic department, and that money is used to pay for all the sports that gets distributed, you know. So
because UVA is independently funded, right? Our athletics program isn't
run. Privately funded, yeah.
Privately
and,
funded.
And that's pretty common around the country. But, you know, most athletic departments are privately funded, if not wholly. They're certainly mostly privately funded by donors. And one of the things that you saw in my email, Tim, is one of the metrics that administrators look at is the percentage of alumni from each sport giving back. So if you have, you know, a lot of wrestling alumni giving back to their program, and it doesn't necessarily mean the dollar amount's important, but just the total number of people giving to a program is indicative of the support for a program. So, you know, you're talking about programs getting dropped. You know, that's one of the things that is looked at in terms of, you know, should we keep this program or should we not keep this program? It's just one of many things that are important, you know. And
yeah.
Cooper has talked about a lot of things that that administrators care about, and it's for Olympic sports, and it's not usually winning. It's not the number one thing that administrators care about for a lot of Olympic sports. It's are the kids successful in the classroom? Are they getting in trouble outside the classroom? Are they doing things to raise the raise the standard of the perception of the university in general. But anyway, on the inside, that's one of the things that is looked at too.
So it's kind of like I feel like it's kind of like if you have any business, you have a certain customer base, and one of the biggest things that, you know, you find the reason people get coupons or reason people, you know, people do promotions and marketing is to get somebody to purchase their product. And it feels like all athletic programs consider themselves a product, and that they can just get you in the habit of purchasing, of giving $50 when you're young and then giving $1,000 when you're older. You're just building your customer base, I feel like, is half the battle for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? We're sitting here talking about collegiate athletics and what the segment of the wrestling community, I think, is missing this boat more than anything. Because they've just not been educated on, really, is the grassroots, is the high school market. And high school coaches and even high school athletic directors really should be implementing the same model that colleges use. It's having people reaching out and getting and asking people for money, you know, asking people to give to an annual campaign. Because when you get them on board giving annually, you can, you know, help pay for your annual operations, and then when it comes time for capital projects, you know, buying a new wrestling mat, building a facility, traveling to a new tournament, or whatever the case may be, you know, you can go to these people. You already have relationships. They're used to opening their wallets. But the model is so easy, so much easier to implement at the high school level now because of social media, because of online communication and email and websites and blogging and Twitter. You can connect with people, and you can ask – You can connect with them, build a relationship, keep them educated, keep them engaged, and then sit down with them, hopefully one-on-one, and ask them for money. It's how fundraising should be done at every level. And you know, we put so many man hours into selling pies and cookies and stuff, you know, and then you get a return on investment on that. Initially, you might get 50% of the profit, but you know what? You haven't built a relationship with the people who bought the pie. You know, spend your time and energy and man hours building the relationship, because these people that give you, you know, $15 to get a pie should, you know, or probably more willing to write you a $100 check where you get 100% of that. I mean, the return on investment of your time is so much more valuable if you're really using donor-centric fundraising.
This is your job, Jim. This is meant for you. This is what you, when I found out that they hired you, it was a silent fist pump, and then I started I mass texted all the other UVA alums in Chicago, and I'm like, duh, best hire.
Yeah, I mean, with Riot Sports Marketing, I was preaching this for
you
years,
were.
You know, and now it's really full time putting that to use, you know, in a full-time setting.
That's going to be interesting, too, because you're going to have to come hit us up for cash in Chicago.
Yes. And, I have a plan to Chicago and just have your wallet handy.
Wait, do you have a trip planned already?
Yeah, that was a flat-out lie. I don't have a trip planned to Chicago, but I am planning on coming out there at some point.
I live in the West Loop, historic West Loop, a block north of Greektown. But you can't say I live in Greektown. Actually, when I update my Facebook, it says I'm in Chinatown, which is not even close to true. But it does look interesting to say that. But I live two blocks south of Randolph Street, which are the best restaurants in Chicago. Best food.
Well, that must mean you have a lot of money, so I'm going to be out there.
It doesn't mean I have a lot of money. It means I'm rent poor. It means I pay about 94.5% of my income into rent.
Oh.
Isn't that awful?
I don't think that's what the financial experts recommend.
No, it's not. It's also interesting. You might as well just have an open discussion about finances since we're talking with someone who deals with money. But I always thought about that because I finally got to the point where I could have this nice career where I could work from anywhere, and I chose to live in one of the most expensive areas in one of the most expensive cities. You know, if I could do the same exact job in Duluth, Minnesota,
yeah, or Pittsburgh, you know, which is probably the best city in the country.
Interesting you say that because I would never live in Pittsburgh. Sorry.
Yeah, you probably couldn't handle it.
I could handle it. I just don't like pollution and whatever. That's the famous Brian Muir quote. Is
you can't handle it.
No, it's I would never live in Pittsburgh. Every person I meet from Pittsburgh is the nicest person I've ever met. And then the response was, because they're not in Pittsburgh when you meet them.
Oh, that hurts. That hits me like right in the heart.
Does it?
Yeah.
Which area of Pittsburgh would you say is the most dominant area for wrestling?
It's hard to say. I mean, there's, you know, you have like south of Pittsburgh, you have, you know, Canamac and McGuffey, or just traditional power Trinity, you know, traditional powers from for a long time. But you have good schools like spread out all over the place. North Allegheny's north of Pittsburgh. So you have all kinds of good schools around there.
Which school did you go to?
Seneca Valley. You know, you have like the Sean Colleys of the world coming out of there, the Jim Harshaws, big, big names. So
Jim Harshaw. How many state titles did you win, Jim?
One, two, three, none.
And did you know this? Here's a question for you. Here's a trivia question for you. I'll donate $50 to UVA Wrestling right now if you can answer this question even reasonably well. But if you get it exactly right, I'll give you 50, and then every number you're off, you subtract $5.
Okay. Wait on me.
How many All-Americans last season were non-state title winners in high school?
I haven't the faintest clue. So out of 80 All-Americans?
Out of 80 All-Americans, how many of those All-Americans did not win a state title in high school?
Gosh, let's say 20.
Oh, you owe me money, I think. It is an astonishing number to me. 4.
Really?
4.
4?
4.
Wow, that's impressive. That's amazing.
Isn't that incredible? But then you think of the 4 people, it was like Matt Wilps, I think, was one of them maybe. It was people who were from Pennsylvania and who probably got caught behind Stud McStudpants 1 or just got upset by like some other like hard-nosed Pennsylvania kid.
Yeah, it's just deep. It's just a deep wrestling state.
But I thought of you when I saw that fact because you and I both non-state title winners.
Well, yeah, both All-Americans at UVA. Neither one of us won a state title.
Yeah. You were my coach. I should call you coach still.
I know. Yeah. I'd like you to address me as coach.
I should only refer to you as coach. When
I'm
look
2 years older than you.
Which, by the way, when you're younger, feels like forever. But as you get older, you realize that
now we're like the same age.
I look at people who are like 5 or 6 years younger than me, and I'm like, I think they're – I perceive them as older because they wear a tie to work.
Yeah, yeah. I'm wearing one of those right now.
Yeah. Now, what is your – you know, when you look at just, you look at college wrestling on the whole, you look at the financials, you look at everything going on, what's the number one, not issue necessarily bad, what's the number one thing you like to talk about when you think about wrestling?
Marketing.
Okay.
We have to communicate. We have to communicate with our fans. We have to educate them, engage them. It's hard to be a wrestling fan. It's hard to be a wrestling fan. Now, the people listening to this, you and I, and the people that we associate with on a regular basis that are wrestling fans, we're already hooked. We're the inner circle. We're the inner group. You know, we're diehards. We're going to go to national championships. We're going to go to, you know, get on the internet and we'll get onto the websites. But it's the, you know, if you think about, and everybody listens to this podcast who wrestled in high school, think about your high school teammates. You know, think about the, whatever, 25 people that were your high school teammates. How many of them know who Jordan Burroughs is? How many of them know who won the national championship last year? It's a small percentage. It's a small percentage. And those are the big stories. Those, most of them don't even know that they're disconnected. You know, that's even true with some of the guys that we wrestle with in college. They're just disconnected. Now, they might know who Jordan Burroughs is and who won the national championship, but they don't follow wrestling because it's hard. You know, they wake up, they go to work, they turn on ESPN radio if they're into sports, and they listen to it on the radio, sports on the radio in the morning. They look at the paper, they you know, get online a little bit, but they're not necessarily, it's hard to follow your wrestling program, especially your high school wrestling program. And that's why I built the Riot Sports Marketing Software, is so that teams can connect and engage with and educate their fan base, whether it's, you know, parents, alumni, fans, etc., and keep them educated and engaged. Because when you educate them, when you engage them, they're going to support you by showing up at matches, by donating money and supporting otherwise whenever you ask them to. And that's the number one thing that we need to do with wrestling, is educate and engage our people. We don't need to go mainstream. God sakes, we need to just get the people who have wrestling experience. People who have wrestled, people who have been on the mats, and most of them are just 90% of them, 90 or 95% of them, in my estimation, are totally disconnected.
I feel like we also have that problem. I feel like, you know, it's really all politics are local, not in my backyard. There's this whole idea that if it doesn't affect your kid directly at the time, so if it's not a ranking about Seneca Valley's district ranking, it just seems to, it doesn't have the same gravity as it does with other, and I remember that's the same way when I was in school too, you know. But there doesn't seem to be, I don't think people are seeing college wrestling as like the next step for all those high school kids. You know, I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe they just don't pine for it the same way.
I agree. You know, it's like it's easy for a high school football and basketball player to have heroes and have guys they look up to because they're in the media constantly in their face, in these college athletes. But it's not in professional athletes. Well, it's not the same in wrestling. You know, it's just not – those people, they're not as visible. The Jordan Burroughs, the Jake Herberts of the world, they're not – you know, the Ben Askrens, just thinking back to, you know, the Dave, the Taylors and the Dakes, they're in the media that you and I in the inner circle see on a daily basis, but they're not. You know, if I went to the local high school and brought in all the kids and all the parents and I said, raise your hand if you know who Kyle Dake is, and of the 50 people in the room, three would probably raise their hand. And that's sad. So
that's incredible to me. That seems – it's so true. I mean, I haven't been to a high school recently, but it seems completely true that they wouldn't know who Kyle Dake is. And they certainly – when you get to the third level, like a Tyler Caldwell, you're just going to get a bunch of glazed over eyes.
Blank stares. And you know what? I don't even know who's on my own high school team. Like Seneca Valley, you know, it's 300 miles from the office that I sit in right now, and I don't know – anybody on that team.
No.
I don't know how good they are, how bad they are, what the prospects are. I don't know what the schedule is, because there's no email newsletter. There's Facebook pages.
I
can go out of my way and probably figure this stuff out if I made a phone call or emailed somebody up there. But you know what? I don't have to do that to get the Pittsburgh Steelers schedule. You know, that stuff comes to me on Facebook, on Twitter. It's in the media. So we have to make wrestling – we have to do the same thing with wrestling on a grassroots basis. And it's a very easy thing to do. But I mean, the Riot – I mean, I'm going to stand here and promote the old software that I built. It's free now. You can go out and sign up for it for free right now for your team. And you have all this stuff, newsletter and Facebook. It makes it easy to connect with your fans. But take advantage of this stuff, you know. And anyway, that's And I'm really glad to see the NWCA putting an effort into marketing and what Coy Cooper is doing, because that's number one, A1 priority on my list.
Yeah, and I get it. And I think everybody who's involved in wrestling needs to sort of personalize their approach and understand where they can get better, where they can improve it. And I think one of the things that I'm trying to do on a personal level, in addition to, you know, podcasting, I think is fun, and it can be a good passive way to learn knowledge or just have a good time for the listener, is tell better stories, is find just good stories to tell, you know, just whatever it is, like working on a story right now about the connection between Christiansburg and Virginia Tech. I mean, it's a pipeline. I mean, it's a
great
pipeline.
Story. Interesting.
You know, it's an interesting story. And I think for me as a media member, I think we need to keep telling good stories. And but I know, you know, speaking honestly, like one of the biggest pushes that we have is to create, you know, we're not a click-based company like Flow. Flow needs clicks, and then they also expand, and they need sponsorships. But, you know, we're platinum. Like, you know, we put our nose down, we do research, whatever. We that's how we make our money, or that's how the business makes their money, and then they pay out their vendors. But it is. It's all about advertising, you know, getting people to read your stuff and the next part. But it can be a push to make it the least common denominator, you know. And we do it too. Like, we get a ton of people reading our stuff that are high schoolers. It's about high school rankings are, like, it couldn't be bigger. Like,
sure.
It's 10 times higher than the next story. Because people want to know where they rank.
Yep.
In comparison to other people. So for us, it's about creating better stories. And I know for Flow, it's about creating better content as far as their videos are concerned. And for the next company, it's something else. But I think wrestlers, to our credit, are going to be hardworking. And definitely are interested in improving it and will get the hang of it. We just don't seem, because there's not as much margin, there's less room for investment. And when there's less investment, you're not going to see things happen as quickly. So people have to grind it out as opposed to just buying their way into, you know, those kind of things.
But. Yeah. And, you know, here's the other thing that I believe about wrestling. I think that, you know, in the wrestling world, and I think this is true in a lot of Olympic sports world, where there's a lot of sort of volunteer programs and people helping out. And, it, you know, some people sort of look at people who are who are making money off of it, you know, like you're writing articles for ESPN magazine and whatnot, and you're doing great things, and I have no idea what, you know, what you get paid by Intermat, but I hope something, you know, and the more people that there are like you and like, you know, Ken Sherto and people who can make a living off of wrestling, the more people who are doing that, the more invested they're going to be in the success of the sport. And I think having businesses who are successful through wrestling ensures the success of the sport. Now, I mean, look at the NFL. I mean, it's a marketing machine, and they've licensed products, and people are buying it. And it's a huge business, you know, and people's livelihoods are attached to the success of the NFL. And I think, you know, we need to let go of the stigma of it's bad for people to make money off of wrestling.
Because I agree.
I think it's really good.
I agree. It's a great thing to make money. It's a great thing to make money.
It's how the world goes around, whether we like it or not. You know, we're all sort of blue collar, you know, tough, and you know, I volunteer for our, you know, and run our local Pee Wee program, and it's that's part of it too. I understand that, but I love it when I see businesses that are making money off of wrestling because they have a vested interest in the success of the sport, whether it's a hotel that hosts an event, or the host hotel for an event, or somebody who's running a camp, or anything in between. I think it's important.
Well, I make anywhere from, you know, $1 to $2 million a year, most of which I give to UVA.
I know. It's big money.
I read somewhere that writers have the pay scale for writers is the lowest, hasn't been adjusted for inflation. It's the same price they made like in 1974.
Oh, I believe it.
It's brutal. Well, I mean,
I know, but we all consume the content. And
we all do. Because it's like for the last 20 years with the internet, there's been just so many people coming on. There's so many different places to get your information. However, the way that the internet's structuring itself now, the
the cream is rising, and people who who write the best articles, not just the ones that get the most clicks, but the people who write the actual best articles, are getting paid. You know Michael Lewis, the guy from Moneyball?
Yeah.
You know how much he gets paid per word for Vanity Fair?
Huh.
Take a guess.
Like, to tell you, to give you a gauge, if you write for Men's Journal, you'll get paid $1.50, $2 a word.
Wow, okay. I have the faintest clue, $4 a word.
He gets paid $14, $10 to $15, so call it $14 a word.
Sure.
So his last article in Vanity Fair, not his last article. Yeah, his last article, the one on Obama, last big article, was about 11,000 words.
Wow.
So that's the guy who's at the top of that career, and he's making, you know, for 3 months of work, he's only making 140.
Yeah. That's well, Tim, I hope that you are able to make that someday as well, off of wrestling.
No, I want to write a book about gay vampire teens.
Yeah.
That's the way to make your millions.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, it's the way to go, of course.
If you had to title a book about teenage vampires...
Huge. I mean, teenage vampires are huge right now. I think it's trending on Twitter right now.
Do you think there's... What do you think... That's not the thing. It's not about writing the book now, because that wouldn't even get popular for 2 years, and then it would take forever to sell. So what's the... The question is, you're always trying to predict what the people are going to want next.
Yeah.
So you have any ideas for me?
Well, the teenage vampires is big. It's really hot, I think, for 2013, but I don't know.
We're thinking 2015.
I'll get back to you on that.
Because right now it's right now the book that I'm writing is about wrestling around the world. So we'll see how those two things meld. Maybe that'll be the big thing. Maybe people are going to be back into that. It was really popular like in the late 90s, early 2000s. So, you know, maybe it'll come back into vogue.
Yeah, it all comes around.
It all does.
Just like bell bottoms.
They're not going to come back. I don't think they're ever going to come back.
No, they're coming back.
You know what I watched a couple days ago? Because I'm in a relationship and this is what happens when you have DVR. I watched the Victoria's Secret, not that I'm complaining, the Victoria's Secret fashion show. Did you see this?
Yeah, I did not. I missed it.
You missed it. You could probably get it on YouTube. It's worth watching.
I believe it.
Great, great designs, great flair.
Of course. Watch it for the,
I watch it for the articles.
Uh-huh.
And I have a question for you, and I'll let you go. But I was kind of hoping you were going to tell me once. You're a good storyteller. I didn't know if you had any good stories you want to tell me about your kids, maybe, or?
Well, nothing too exciting. My 7-year-old is wrestling now, Jesse James Harshaw. Keep an ear out for that name at the tournaments. Second year of wrestling.
Does he have a nickname?
And I taught him a cement job the other day. That's our secret move, so I hope that none of his opponents are listening. Because we're swinging for the fences on the cement job outside of the double leg. So we got a double leg, duck under, cement job.
You taught your 7-year-old a duck under?
Sorry?
You taught your 7-year-old a duck under?
Yeah. Dude, I got a good duck under. I got a sick duck under. I hit nationals on the guy from Central Michigan. Don't you remember that?
I'm asking you why you're teaching a 7-year-old a duck under. Do you think that his opponent's going to be that aggressive that he's going to be hitting a duck under?
No, duck under's not hard. Just post the arm, big snap, big outside step. So we're working on it, Tim. I'm not going to say it's just number one move. I mean, it's probably 15th on the depth chart for my 7-year-old right now.
But it just seems weird that you mentioned it like second.
Yeah. Well, we're getting there. I mean, I think it's a good move. I think it's good for the young guys.
So we're going cement mixer?
That's our secret move.
How does he hit? Does he hit it to the side, or does he do like the Rob Roan roll through?
Well, he doesn't really hit it yet. We just did it on the living room floor a few times. So.
But he doesn't do it. Does he roll through the backside way?
No, he doesn't roll through like a gator roll.
If he like pushes, gets some resistance, does he do the roll through the other
one? No, it's like off defending a shot when you catch underneath the arm.
Okay. Now, are you teaching him like little stuff like putting his fingers into the throat? Like,
eye gouging is part of it, yeah. Eye gouging, fish hooks and whatnot, yeah.
Oh, here's a fantastic question. Are you making him, I know the word making is aggressive, but is he cutting weight?
Kidney? Of course. I mean, he ballooned up to like 60 pounds, so we got him down to 52. Of course not. Anybody thinks I'm serious? Of course not. He's as skinny as I was when I was a freshman in college, and kind of skinny still right now. But yeah, he's all skin and bone right now. So he's got nothing to lose on him.
Now, so, how do they do it? Do they have weight classes?
Do they have weight classes?
Or do they just tell you weights when you show up?
Yeah, it's kind of like Madison weights. It's like you just kind of pair them up with in the dual meets with. We haven't done any tournaments yet. We're not doing that yet. We're not going for the 8-year-old national champion thing. We're trying to have fun right now.
Are you going to be the father who is we see tackling the other kid in like 3 years?
I'm afraid of myself. I cannot wait to stop coaching my son because I get too emotionally invested in it already, and it's really hard. I have no idea how parents do this. So I'm working on it. I think I need counseling already. So,
do you think that, I mean, I've seen some pretty aggressive videos. Do you think that starting your child that early is aggregately a good thing or bad thing? Here's the other question. Does he want to, I mean, do you feel, because there's certain parents, there's a Dear Abby letter. There's certain parents who feel like they need to put their kids into wrestling or want to put their kids into wrestling. And then there's others who reluctantly, because their kids beg them, put them into wrestling.
Well, I mean, I did it because he wanted to, of course. I'm not pushing my kids to do anything that they don't want to do in terms of sports at this age. I want they have to do some kinds of sports. We want them just to be active, and but we let them pick what they want to do, and don't push anything. We're not doing anything that they, not traveling on weekends and doing the, travel teams or whatnot, which are available, unbelievably, at this age with, like, T-ball and stuff. So what was the question? Rephrase it. Come back again.
Is this because he wants to, or is it because James Harshaw wants him to?
Yeah, no, he's doing it, he's doing it because he wants to. So it's their choice. And my goal right now at this age, we have a Pee Wee Club program. It's just 5-, 6-, and 7-year-olds. It's the goal is to teach them some wrestling, learn some moves, have fun, and want to come back to wrestling practice every week. And then when they graduate to the elementary program, which is our like 8- to 11-year-olds, is then they really start learning some deep, some moves and going a couple more, two practices, an optional third practice week, and
a day. You mean
so right now it's just have fun.
You mean two practices?
Kids gonna love it.
You mean two practices a day, right?
Two? Did I say a week? Yeah, I meant twice a day. Yeah, right.
Let's not fool ourselves. These kids got to get out there. They got to learn something. What's your market on, or what are the odds of your child? Is this your college fund? Is his ability to wrestle?
Of course, dude. I'm spending all my money. Yeah, I mean, gosh, you can't even. Who knows? The chance of him getting to college on a scholarship in any sport is low. But he has no choice, really. So.
I remember my dad told, and I never understood this. I thought it was just your parents say crazy things. And he was like, "Look, if you get a full scholarship to college, I'll buy you a Ferrari." I was like, what do you mean? That makes no sense. And then I thought about it, and it's like, if I had gone to, say, a school, well, especially now, if you go to a school that costs $50,000 a year and you have to pay out of pocket, you're talking about $200,000, might as well buy them a Ferrari, right?
Yeah.
At least you can sell that back.
Yeah. Get something for it.
Yeah, exactly. I know that there's been college athletes who get balloon payments from their parents, like parents who have saved for college.
Yeah.
And then they earn a scholarship, and their parents are like, "Well, we'll just give you a bunch of money when you graduate," which is, I think, is kind of cool. I'm not sure I could do that as a parent. I think I would just spend it on like a new interior decorating, like a new couch, like a nice wall mirror.
I mean, I got an old pickup truck. Whenever I went to college, actually a couple years into it, but it was awesome.
You still got that?
Happy with that.
You still got that truck?
No, that was the old '91 S10. Had the rubber floors, no power steering. No air conditioning.
No power steering in the winter, pulling out of a tight parking spot, would probably rate as one of the worst things in the world.
It was, especially when I jacked up my shoulders several times wrestling in college and could hardly steer the thing. So, yeah. But it worked. It was great. Not exactly a Ferrari, but it was better than a Ferrari.
Yeah, there's 91 S10s. I think their resale value is pretty much on par with Ferrari.
Yeah. Yes,
I haven't checked the data recently, but yeah. I think that's about right. And I have another question for you, because right after this, we're going to talk to Brian Muir. He's going to do the lines.
Yeah. He calls me Coach, too.
He does. Yeah, and he does all of our lines. Did you know that?
Yeah, I believe it, of course.
Yeah, he's a line maker. That's what he does. Yeah. If you had to put a line on Brian Muir going, making it to become a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So, what are the odds? How much money would you bet that he can make the progression from currently at a blue belt to a black belt? Now, if you've never done Jiu-Jitsu before, if you've never wrestled before, it would take you probably 8 to 10 years.
Okay.
To be a black belt. He's wrestled before. He's done it for 2 years. He's a blue belt. He's months away probably from getting his purple. What? And then he has to go through brown, and then it's black belt, right?
Yeah.
Do you think Brian Muir will get his black belt in the next 4.5 years?
I was going to say 5 years.
Okay, let's call it 5 years.
I think Muir will do it.
What's the line that Muir gets his black belt in the next 5 years? How much are you willing to bet? And is it a straight up bet, or do I have to give you odds?
Not that I can bet, but if I were to, mm-hmm. it would be, I'd put $1,000 on it.
$1,000?
Yes.
Oh, you just talked me right out of betting you. I was going to bet you. $1,000? Wow.
Yeah, I think Muir's going
to
do it.
I do this to motivate him. I want to make sure he loves it. I think he likes it more than wrestling.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. I can say. I mean, people need their fix. People need their wrestling fix.
You do. It's a great way to do it as an old person because you get to wear pajamas in public. It's great. Jimbo, I really appreciate your time today, my man.
Thank you, Professor Foley. It's fun talking.
All right. You have a nice day at work.
All right. Wrestling coaches out there, get marketing.
Get marketing. All right, bud.
All right, man.
Later.
I didn't take my fucking shoes off.
So you're still in it.
You just, maybe you'll get through ISIS next time. Maybe you could force in.
I mean, you didn't pull any strings, because if you had, then I'd be there.
I've only got so many strings to pull, Tim. I tried to pull the ones I had, but it just didn't happen. You got to be on payroll.
You can put me on.
Maybe we use you as a recruiter or something next year.
I got you, Kevin Lester.
That's what I heard. But Buckley's also taking credit for Lester, so I think you got us half of Lester.
I think half of Lester gives me one steak.
Half of Lester is pretty much a full human. So technically, you did get a full employee in the door. Mm-hmm. But next year, let's shoot for next year.
Let's shoot for tonight. Let's not.
You know who took your spot is newcomer Nick Nelson.
I don't think giving up has any place in this discussion. I think like any good wrestler, just keep working, find the late takedown. I mean, dinner hasn't started. I finished my
what
work
I would do
day.
If I were you, I would just show up to Chicago Cut and say, just kind of bump into us and mm-hmm. say, oh, I didn't know you guys were here. I like steak. I like the party. I like Christmas.
I was taking myself out for my Christmas party for myself. And so, you guys, that's the one thing. I mean, you work at home and you don't have any ability to have a Christmas
party. Yeah, you're missing that camaraderie a little bit. I feel for you.
I mean, there's some ups to working in an office. There's certainly a lot of downs that I'm missing as well. So there's advantages mm-hmm. and there's disadvantages. Advantages, I got to watch in the background as I wrote today. I watched TV for the first time ever in 4 years of writing. I watched TV all day as I wrote.
Really? I don't think I'd be able to do that. For me, I think it'd be one or the other.
I was watching Million Dollar Listing LA. There was a marathon on, and I just wanted to see possibly if I could list Million Dollar Listings in Los Angeles County. And I came away thinking that I probably could.
Yeah,
I would probably rock at it.
I could see you in L.A. Maybe San Diego.
Oh, I'd love to go to San Diego.
Yeah, you and I both.
Mike Chandler, Bellator champion, fighting January 17th on Spike, told us on the podcast not too long ago that he lives in San Diego, and he agrees that it is the center for which all hot women are spawned. Like, if you meet a hot woman in Milwaukee, she likely came from San Diego.
There's not a whole lot of bad things about San Diego, if there's any.
The airport is bad.
The airport's kind of bad.
Because there's...
And it takes a little bit to get... Well, unless you live downtown, it takes a little bit to get out to some of the beaches, but I don't know. It's definitely on my list of spots I'd like to live later in life.
Yeah. I feel like every time I've landed in San Diego, I take that... You come in and you just drop. You basically land like a helicopter, even though you're in a plane.
Yeah, right. Right. It's just... The landing's really tough there, right?
I mean, tough.
Besides Colorado, it's one of the hairier landings.
You know what? Another landing that I don't love is Reagan. Because you bank it like you're in Top Gun. And
yeah.
Come down the river because of the way that the zoning is with all the housing. And then another one is actually Midway, which can happen to you sometimes too, where they bank you like Maverick is in the front seat.
Yeah, I've actually had good experience with Midway coming in. If it gets windy, you know, it can be a little scary, but... nothing like San Diego. I think San Diego is probably the worst. Aspen, we flew in Aspen a couple years ago. That was a little rough.
No, I don't do small planes. I stick to big planes.
I know you do. So last time we talked was, let's see, Oklahoma State, Minnesota, right?
Yes.
We made the line, well, I made the line, -7. And I believe you laughed at me. And I believe the score was
22-15. So, what? Run that back. 22-15 who? I forgot.
Okie State.
It was
AKA, I nailed it. Hit it right on the money.
Okie State, Minnesota was 22-15?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Unless the internet is wrong. That's what I'm going by here, the internet.
Okay. I don't think the internet's wrong.
Okay. That's kind of what I figured. So... just trying to keep track of where I'm at here. Some good lines early. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't want to get too overconfident, but
I took you to dinner on Saturday. I took you to dinner on Saturday.
You took a lot of people to dinner on Saturday.
I took a lot of people to dinner. I took like 8 people to a very nice dinner on Saturday. You were one of them.
You know what? If you wanted to go out and get a steak, you'd have a nice grill to put it on. What do you?
You wouldn't have a grill because you don't have a balcony. You can't grill inside.
But
I'm not an idiot, Brian.
Don't try to deflect. Oh. You would have a nice grill.
How many times are you going to use the grill as some sort of leverage? That was a good dinner. That was an $80 dinner.
Great dinner.
$80 dinner.
Great grill. Great dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll do a little. Maybe we'll do a little podcast one-on-one Christmas dinner. If you're good.
Okay. Okay. Anyways, continue. Sorry, I just thought about that.
I know it hurts. Where were we? So, what else did we talk about last time? So, Vegas, Cornell, 2 champs. I took the under. They ended up with 1 champ. And Garrett, your boy, was pretty close, though.
Yeah, he's tough.
He gave it a good go against Waters.
Well, he lost like 6-1, but... It wasn't like...
No, I think it was closer than that. I thought he got ridden a little bit, but I thought he was within a takedown at the end to tie it.
Was he?
Could be wrong. What else? Okie State. Unknown fact about Okie State, maybe known at this point. Best new singlets in the country.
Ooh, I don't think I've seen them.
They're pretty sick. They're very nice.
They're not
very
just nice the singlet. Orange?
They upped the game. Upped the singlet game.
They're not just the orange ones?
No, they changed it. I don't know if it's just their home. Or no, this is at Oklahoma. So maybe it's just their bedroom singlets or something. But they fancied it up a little bit on us.
What they do to them, Brian? Describe
it. They got some gray streaks. They got, you know, the O in the back.
Gray is the new
they
white.
They took what Ohio State did and they upped the game a little bit.
Gray is the new white.
It is. They're really cool looking. So we'll see a little bit of that. You know where we'll see it? At
Skillful.
Grappling Garden.
Oh, Grapple in the Garden. That's right.
Grapple in the Garden. So you want to get into it? You want to go through some matchups? We got a lot of matchups to get
through. It was 6-0. Alan Waters beat him.
Is that right? I don't think that's right.
It's right.
Where are you getting at?
The internet.
Fucking internet. All right. I'll give it to you. I really thought it was closer than that.
Okay. Get me into dinner as a payback.
Yeah. So before we get to Grapple the Garden, we got a matchup on Friday night. Ohio State versus Kent State. And we got two guys that have met. This is going to be their fourth time meeting early in the season. Fourth time.
Really?
Yeah. Andrew Campolitano, 10th ranked Ohio State versus the killer, number one, you know him, I know him, Kilgore.
Yeah.
1-10. So Kilgore, they've wrestled three times. Kilgore smashed him the first time, smashed him the second time, but closed the gap a little bit. And the last match at Vegas was like 4 points. So he keeps getting closer, keeps getting closer. He's out of NJ, so I'm a little biased towards him. Four-time state champ out of New Jersey, one loss in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got the talent to get it done, and I think he's starting to come into his own a little bit this sophomore season. Fourth match, I'm going to say Kilgore beats him by Kilgore minus 4.5 over Campbelltown.
Is this at Oklahoma State? Is this at Ohio State?
I believe it is, yeah.
I'll take the...
I like Camp to keep... I think he might flatline a little bit. I think within four might be the closest he gets to
him. I'll take the over.
You'll take Kilgore.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, not...
All right, I'll take Camp.
Yeah.
I'll take Camp Lutano.
Jake Meredith, who I like, and I just wrote a piece on a little bit, he majored Camp. And he's tough, and he rides legs, and he's good. But I just feel like even if you're growing familiarity with somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know, and having to wrestle each other for the fourth time, I don't think it's going to matter. I think he's just too good.
Well, I mean, Kilgore's so good.
Kilgore's won every match by at least 6, so 4.5 seems.
He had a good go in the Vegas finals, too, though. That kid from Missouri kept it close. Kept it within
Haynes?
You know, he's on the same planet as him, so at least I think he got a takedown actually toward the end. Rumors running around that Kilgore was sick, but still.
Can't trust the rumors.
So yeah, Camp -4.5, you got
Kilgore -4.5,
you got Kilgore.
You mean the kid from Wyoming, not the kid from Missouri.
Was it Wyoming?
Yeah.
I thought it was Missouri.
Alfonso Hernandez.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Whoever it was, he kept it close with him. But Kilgore, I can't see Kilgore losing this year. Maybe Wilps or Wright sneaks one from him. But
Wilps is legit.
I think Wright is a bad matchup for him if he can get him into his kind of match. But Kilgore's so solid that he's so technical and strong that it's going to be tough for him to do anything to him. So, Grapple in the Garden. Two matchups we're going to look at. One, Cornell, Missouri, and then Cornell, Okie State.
Okay.
All right. So we got Cornell, Missouri. Cornell is ranked 8. Missouri ranked number 7. Missouri came in second by 1 point at Vegas to Ohio State.
Okay.
So they're tough top to bottom. They've got a good starting 2. 125, 133. They've got some good upper weights. And they're pretty solid throughout. So, Cornell, obviously they got their studs. But I think Missouri matches up really good with Cornell. And I don't think that Bozak's wrestling. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But
he's not wrestling until second semester.
Okay, so if he was wrestling, this would be, man, I think this is almost a pick 'em. If he's wrestling, but with him out, I got Missouri -4.5.
Ooh, that's a solid line because you want to take, I want to take Missouri because I think they're going to win. So I'm trying to figure out where they're going to lose those points.
Well, there's some toss-ups in there too. That like 133 is a toss-up. If Cornell can win that, changes the whole dynamic of the meet. Missouri's favored there is small, but
I'll take Missouri.
Take Missouri minus 4.5.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I like that side of it. We'll see. I mean, Cornell's been game this year so far. They're another team that just slides. You know, people graduate and they slide new guys in. You know, where the hell they came from.
They're Nicaragua and Nation Garrett. They're both.
Right. Have you heard of Nation Garrett before this year?
He's a freshman.
He came out of nowhere for me.
He's a freshman.
Pleasant surprise, though.
No. Pleasant surprise.
Pleasant surprise. So, and the one individual matchup that's interesting, obviously, is 125 rematch. Changes my whole line that he lost 6-0, but I thought it was closer than that. I'm going to say Waters beats him again, but both those guys got to be cutting weight. Both those guys are big 25-pounders. So depending on when they wrestle and how much after weigh-ins, that could affect the match. I'm going to say Waters minus 2.5. I think he closes the gap and he wins, or Garrett closes the gap, Waters still wins. I think by the end of the year, I'm taking Garrett to beat him. Like that marquee upset, quarterfinals, beats Waters.
We're coming at this from two different angles. I think Alan Waters beats him 9-1, so I'm obviously going to take Waters, and I think he extends his lead. I think he ices him.
Think so.
Yeah.
I don't see where you see it. Where's the upside? I feel like Waters, if anything, has ceilinged out.
Has he?
Garrett is just...
Why has he reached his ceiling?
Maybe not reach his ceiling, but he's an upperclassman.
So?
Garrett,
he's an upperclassman with his first... He's got his first full year with Sammy the Bull Henson, you know, just basically sleeping in bed next to him. And I don't see how that's... I don't see that same situation. I know Cornell's got a great room, and I know they have, great wrestling partners and good coaching, but, I mean, year in and year out... Sammy Hansen gets the lower weights that he coaches to get to the national finals. They have great seasons, and then they go to the national finals. They're dominating. They're suffocating on top, or smothering on top. I just don't see how Garrett's going to do anything to improve by the end of the year. You're a freshman. You're going to improve, obviously, as you go through the year. That's fine. You gain your confidence. But I think that wave of improvement has already occurred for him.
I would disagree. I would say that he's got one more level to go.
Well, I think he has one more level to go in his career, but I think Waters is going through one of those things where he has a coach, you know, we've all had him before. All of a sudden, I'm good. Wait, I can be great. I can beat McDonough.
Yeah,
I beat McDonough.
Watching,
I expect to beat McDonough.
It's also tough to wrestle a guy. Look at Camp Letano and Kilgore. You wrestle a guy more than once. Now he starts figuring it out a little bit. You know, it gets closer and closer.
He lost by 6 points. He lost by 6, 11, and 6. I mean, I don't know if that's closing the gap. That could just be a simple non-call, pace of the match. It could be a lot of things.
You're going back to Camp Letano? I think he lost by 4 last time.
6.
Well, regardless, closing the gap. I think Waters wins, don't get me wrong, but I think every time they wrestle, it's going to be edging a little closer. So I would take Garrett plus 2.5.
Okay. Mark it.
Match. So mark that down. What else we got? Missouri minus 4.5, Garrett plus 2.5. Cornell, the big matchup, everyone wants to see it. What does it say about, I saw some of the mailbag that 184 was the toughest weight and it might be the deepest weight. But what does it say about 165 that this early in the season we're seeing our second big matchup of the year and it's also at 165?
That's true. Same wrestler, you know? But yeah.
I wasn't excited about Ruth Hamlin as I am about Caldwell Dick.
Oh.
It's gonna be very interesting.
So interesting.
So again, with Bozak out, I think Okie State really is in control of this one. I'm gonna put them minus wrestled, no pun intended, with this a little bit. Minus 9.5 Okie State.
Over Cornell?
Yep.
I'll take Okie State.
Yeah, I probably would too. close. I mean, Okie State could. I'm sorry, Cornell could. There's a couple of toss-ups where they could sneak one and make it closer, but Okie State, man, I mean, they got those two upper weights that are pretty solid to end the match. Jordan Oliver, in my opinion, may be the best wrestler in college.
I haven't seen him wrestle with the ones. You think he's doing well with the weight?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the fact that he's not going to have to – I for the life of me, cannot understand how he made 133 last year. Have you seen him?
He's enormous.
He looks sucked out at 49, the one match I saw him. I mean, his face is still, like, kind of sucked out.
Right.
So that had to be just a miserable cut for 3 years. He looks great, though. He looks fast. He's not getting tired. He's not, like, coasting through matches. He's going to be a handful for anyone to beat at 49 still. So he's a heavy favorite. He might be the best wrestler in the country. Him or obviously you got Dake Stieber.
Yes, I mean, Stieber looks pretty good himself.
he looked all right. So anyway, big match. Caldwell plus 1.5.
I'll take Dake.
Really? I'll take Caldwell all day.
You want to make a bet on this?
There's a 100% chance that this is a 1-point match.
There's no chance.
Okay. I mean, your number. You can book it.
Book it? I'll book it at 40.
Book it. Book it at 40.
So you heard that podcast.
Caldwell plus 1.5.
Yeah. No, it's not even going to be close. Caldwell is great, but it's, I think after his match with Bubby Graham that went into overtime, and Graham probably should have won that match. I don't know. I know people think his style is going to be tough, and he's tough, and he is, but I just don't see him beating.
Does he beat him? No, I don't think he beats him this time. I actually originally thought he would beat him. I think Dake wins a 1-point match, but the chance of it going over 1 point, I think, are very slim.
I think
I didn't realize. Caldwell was really good on top. He won that match because he rode Graham out the whole third period. Obviously, Dake is best wrestler in the country on top. Riding ability for sure, but Caldwell's no slouch on the mat, so. I don't think there's any way Dake takes him down. I would say over-under takedowns for this match is a half a takedown. I'll take the under.
I think there's going to be a takedown.
No way. No chance. I'll make a separate bet. No takedowns in the match.
Okay. I'll take that bet.
All right.
How much?
Your number.
Your number. Go ahead.
So what are you're down, I believe you're down 80 right now?
Minus dinner, so you're down 5.
I'll throw another $20 on that.
Sure, go ahead.
Zero Sold. Takedowns.
Sold.
All right. So that, just a little teaser for Southern Scuffle, then we throw Taylor in there. It's going to be very, very
Throw Taylor in there and all hell breaks loose. I wonder if
breaks loose.
Yeah, I'm interested to see the Alex Derringer wrestle. That's who I want to see.
I didn't watch his match. You can watch them all, but I didn't see him wrestle yet. Obviously, very good.
Stud.
Where is he from? Do you know?
I do know this, and I'm blanking. But
makes a big difference to me. Where's your pedigree? Where are you from?
That makes a big difference to you?
Yeah.
You're like a bloodline guy, huh?
No, but I feel like if you are from 5 states, that if you're from there, you're a little leg up.
Really?
Just because you've had the matchups, you know, in high school. Like some of these guys, like you wrestling from Missouri, you're undefeated your career, like you're going to be good, but you wrestle a 2-time state champ from Pennsylvania, you're probably going to get blown off the mat.
He is from Washington, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, okay.
All right, respectable. Not one of the top five, but they get some good matchups. So, who else we got here? All right, and then, so what do we say? Okie State minus 9.5. That's probably a little low. I would take Okie State minus 9.5. Although, Cornell sneaks out 133, and they cover, in my opinion, depending on bonus points. So, and they scrap, too. Cornell is definitely not laying down for anyone. In New York, you could see something happen.
No, I couldn't.
Then we got some individual matchups we'll go through quick.
Okay.
Maryland, Nebraska, number 8, Kokesh versus Asper, number 6. Both these guys are studs. Both these guys are wrestling good. Kokesh, I believe, doesn't have a loss yet at 74. He's been blowing guys out. Asper, one loss, one win against Blanton from Illinois. Split matches. He looked good in the loss, too. He looked like he could have taken it. I'm going to say Asper, yikes. Asper minus 1 against Kokesh. Both these guys are at 65 last year, too. Interesting note.
I'll take Kokesh.
Take Kokesh? All right.
Yeah.
Asper minus 1. I'll take Asper. 74 as well. Rutgers, oof. So Rutgers, the bet that is not looking very good for me, unfortunately, right now is the Mason.
Yeah.
Double All-American bet.
I'll let you out for $8.
No. I'm going to leave that on. But that is looking like a long shot if there ever was one. Unfortunately. I'm really pulling for those guys to get it done and Molinaro to make it happen. But, man, I got to say it doesn't look good right now. So, still time left. But 174, Greg Zanetti from Rutgers versus Kokesh as well. I'll take Kokesh minus 2.5 on that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't take the other side of it.
Zanetti's been wrestling well. He's kind of been the bright spot in that lineup so far, but he's number 10. I think Kokesh is a little much for him, but that could be a good match too. Kokesh minus 2.5. And then same match, Rutgers Nebraska. Battle of two New Jersey studs. I don't know if Winston might be hurt. I haven't really heard. But he's looking like maybe the weight cut's getting to him or he's hurt. But he hasn't looked great, I got to say. He's wrestling James Green. Two guys from New Jersey, two studs. Green, who lost to Jed Moore.
Our boy, yeah.
At Vegas. Yep. Wahoo. Jed Moore wrote him out. That's not going to happen with Winston, I don't think. It's going to be on their feet, and I think Green. Pocket, Jordan Burroughs, by the way. Same person. James Green. They just cloned Jordan Burroughs. They took the kid out of South Jersey, brought him to Nebraska. He wrestles exactly like him. I mean, it is strange how similar these guys are. So he's got a lot of talent. I got to say Green is a favorite here. And he's a 3-point favorite over Winston.
That's a good betting line. I still would just take Green because I like Green. And I think he's...
Yeah. When he's going, he's really good. Really good. He can go with any of those guys. So, yeah, I'll take Green minus 3. And that should wrap it up, unless you got any more you want to throw at me.
No, what is the over-under on Massey changing his mind for dinner tonight?
What is the over-under? It's tough to do an over-under on something like that.
What's the line, rather?
I would say I would lay $1,000 to your 100 that he's probably not going to change his mind.
10-1?
10-1.
Oh.
And I just don't want to hurt your feelings that bad. It's probably higher than that. So listen, we can get you on payroll next year. You know, we'll hire you for a couple days, maybe do some office work, and we'll get you out to dinner.
I mean, office work. I told him that I was going to get him on the podcast to talk about the physical cliff, how hard wrestlers work, why he wrestles, and I got nothing. I got a big fat nothing
back, huh? No respect.
No respect.
Wait till the podcast takes off, and then he'll be knocking on your door.
Exactly.
He'll be asking you, when can we go to dinner?
He will be. You know, I don't know that our budget is necessarily there where we can start taking people to Chicago Cut.
We got a whole year. We got a year to build it up. So, I've got faith in us. Got some faith.
What else we got going on this weekend, Brian? Anything? It's already Tuesday. I'm already thinking about the weekend.
This weekend, we got Valco Christmas party.
They had the Valco Takedown Tournament, too.
Valco Takedown Tournament with Gee.
Is it with Gee?
I may or may not do that. I'm leaning towards not doing it.
I don't know if it's fair for you to do a takedown. I mean, you're not that great on your feet, but I still don't know that it's fair
First of
for
all,
you to.
Phenomenal. We both know I'm phenomenal on my feet. You both know that. Maybe I'll pull guard.
I think the whole thing
is not necessarily takedowns. It's first 2 points, I believe.
Oh.
So you can pull guard and play that game.
That's interesting.
And then there's a surprise party. I don't want to say it, and just in the outside chance a person listens, on Saturday for a buddy. So, filled weekend. And then I'm heading to New Jersey on next Friday for the holiday.
What day is that? 21st?
21st, yep.
Me too. Where are you flying out of?
Midway.
Me too. What time?
I believe 4:15. You had my itinerary, I think.
That's right. You did forward me your itinerary. I fly at I fly later. I fly like 9:45.
Okay. Well, chances are I get delayed anyway because that's just what I do. So I'll be waiting for you. I'll be at Harry Carey's.
At the bar, Harry Carey's. I really think that. I mean, the downside for this whole thing with you, Brian, is that I'm gonna get better at jiu-jitsu tonight if I don't get the invite.
Yeah, and I knew that, so I got better last night.
Oh, you went last night?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got a lot better.
I went yesterday during the day, and I rolled with Purple Belt Saul, the little Chinese kid, or Japanese kid, who just is fantastic.
I don't think I know him. New guy?
He comes in every once in a while, wears a black gi. He can't be about 145 pounds. You would try to bully him, and he would sweep you.
I rolled with Mean Alan Dean last night.
He basically is...
All 125 pounds of him.
He is Alan Dean, but a purple belt.
What else? What else you got? Oh, we need a line of the week on the way out. Let's start getting some Hodge lines going. What do you think?
Okay.
All right. I'm going to give you two for next week.
Okay.
I'm just going to go... I'm going to start going up the ladder. So... Let's go Matt McDonough and Logan Steber for next week. Okay. Your line on them winning the Hodge.
My line on those two guys winning the Hodge. That's tough. The Hodge is so
tough. The Hodge is tough. So choose carefully.
I will choose carefully. Maybe we can talk about it tonight at dinner.
Yeah, meet us there.
I might actually just meet you there because I know it would irritate Massey.
You should just show up. I mean, no one's gonna kick you out.
I know. I feel like this is my only work family.
Well, if it doesn't work out, we'll get something going next week. Homeland finale Sunday
in the theater.
In the theater, I have a movie theater in my building. Apparently,
I have a movie theater in my house. What up?
There you go.
It's 50 inches.
We can get going for that.
Is that Sunday?
Yeah, we got
that. Actually,
got
would
the
work.
Going for that too.
That would
I like
actually
that
work.
You're trying to throw secondary characters in there dying. Like,
well, first of all, for anyone who watches Homeland, don't listen. Okay, because this will be spoilers left and right. You cannot tell me right now that you didn't pee yourself when you saw that they killed. I mean, I guess I kind of knew they were going to kill Abu Nizir.
They killed Nizir. Well, man, a lot of changes going on because Saul is now out of the CIA. Unless, which I'm banking on because of our bet, Estes bites it somehow.
Whoa. You think, I mean, I saw that bet and I know what you mean because he's the most disposable main character. You can't get rid of Claire Danes. You can't get rid of Mandy Patinkin. And you can't get rid of Brody.
No, you can't get rid of Brody.
You know who I wouldn't mind seeing to die, and this is horrible to say, is that teenage girl. Quit your bitching.
yeah, she's got to go. They're just not. They're not going in a great direction with her. It's time for her to leave the show.
So how many times like, does she pull her?
Send her to boarding school or something. Right?
Yeah, please send her to boarding school. That's what they did in Dexter. They just they're like, right. Oh, he has these inconvenient kids. Go, just gone. Although I give him credit when they brought him back this season, they brought back the same characters. I guess those actors, the actress and the actor that play the
I was surprised. Even the little kid was like a baby, same exact character.
Same character. Yeah, it's been like a couple years. They found her.
It's kind of a dark horse, but I think the finale is going to be really good.
I haven't seen this week.
Dexter
I haven't
now
seen
is like the seasons are okay.
Yeah,
and then they try to blow it out of the park with the finale.
I haven't.
They kind of hit it last year, so
yeah. I haven't seen this week, so careful. But
okay.
But back to Homeland, I think what you're going to see is there's going to be the big – it's going to have the everybody in the same room. It's going to be at the – everybody's going to be at the vice president's funeral. Vice president died for those people who didn't turn this off. And Brody has been playing an agent the entire time, a double agent.
That is interesting. His reaction to Abu-Nazir dying was interesting.
I thought that his reaction would be the same if he was playing a double. I think that's the only thing that makes me think he's not being a double agent. Because if he was being, or actually would just be a triple agent at that point.
Yeah, but he wasn't near any CIA. He was just, you know, with his family.
But
natural,
would,
like, genuine reaction.
I don't think he could hide that reaction no matter where he was.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Which means he loved him. But
he obviously had some affection for him still.
But does he have enough affection to carry out his plot? Because something is going to happen. Okay, here's my theory. Last season was all about this bomb, and it was all about the explosion of the bomb. And there's actually, I think, in theater they say, don't present a bomb in the first act if it's not going to explode by the start of the third. And that's exactly what they did, is they exposed I guess it would have been the second act, but they brought this bomb, it never exploded. And now you had to deal with sort of the emotional leftovers of that this whole season, is what this unexploded bomb, how did it affect, how did it actually explode on all these different characters in the show? This year, we've been dealing with all of this emotion, and it's a build-up of a different sort, but I think that there's going to be some sort of explosion, and I don't know who's going to pull the trigger or who's going to be wearing the vest. But remember, we don't know where that vest is, and we don't know where all of those explosives from the house went. We know where some of them went.
We still don't know who the mole is. Somebody's on the inside still.
Wait, we do know actually where the explosives went, because they got some of those explosives from Roya's news van.
Roya is... Our little bet on the side with our three people who might die, I think she's a shoo-in. After I thought about it.
She's under custody.
She's dead. She's as good as dead. She's not making it to...
She's in custody.
There's no reason for her to be there.
She's in custody.
I'm just letting you know, she's not making it. She's dead.
She's in custody.
It doesn't matter. There's a whole episode to go.
Was she going to get out of custody and get a bomb strapped to her chest?
Listen... Somebody in custody already has died this year, so that's not out of the question either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're not going to go back.
I mean, that's their MO.
You're going to dip back into that one. Person in custody.
Maybe somebody slips her a razor.
Oh, that is their MO, I guess. Two people in custody have died.
Yeah, so don't feel safe about that.
Do you think it's possible that Saul is the mole?
No, not at this point. To do that, they would have to take the show in a really, rash direction.
I think they're going to do it. I think that's the whole... show is going to turn on its axis.
I bet you it's Estes. If I were to pick the mole right now, it would be him. That Galvez guy is a red herring, obviously. Who else is left? Saul, Estes... The guy they brought in this year, which wouldn't make sense.
Well, I mean, it would make... No, because he's just a soldier.
Yeah, but he wasn't around last year, so...
Maybe...
Well, anyway...
Maybe the wife dies.
I think Mike dies.
I think Mike's the best. I think Mike's the best option. I mean, I liked my first pick. You have to go with him, but
yeah, he's probably going down. There's probably more than one person going down in the finale. He's a good choice. The reason I like Mike is because they blew him up in the last episode. Like, the daughter was saying how he's a better dad, and
Mike would be a better father. And then she's like,
seems like a swan song for him.
It does seem like, and he got one last look at the yeah, boobs of the fairy. She is unbelievable, but her face is so she's got such tiny little facial features.
She does have tiny features.
She looks like Tinkerbell. If you cast Tinkerbell in a real movie right now, it would be her. There's no second play. The casting director would have the easiest job in the world. Just get her to be Tinkerbell.
Not a great actress, in my opinion.
She takes her top off.
And then she's Oscar worthy, or Grammy worthy, Emmy worthy.
Grammy? I don't think she was singing.
Or the she's going for the EGOT.
She's going for the EGOT. Who on that show is going to get the Oscar next season for their performances this season? Don't say the daughter.
Patinkin. I think you got to throw in there.
Really strong performance this past week.
Obviously, you know who's going to be nominated and probably get it. Crazy bitch.
Crazy Claire Danes?
Claire Danes.
Interesting thing about Claire Danes and Nick Brody's decision to have sex with Claire Danes as opposed to Tinkerbell is that Tinkerbell is 47.3 times hotter than Claire Danes.
I'd agree. But after you spent 10 years in an Iraqi prison, you know, you probably don't really care at this point. You're going for crazy. Because maybe you're a little nuts.
I'm a little crazy. Maybe she's a little crazy.
I'm gonna leave you on that.
Hey Brian, I gotta let you go, buddy. I gotta meet up with my crew for our holiday party. So
maybe I'll bring you a doggy bag, something nice for
you. Oh, that's just rude.
That's just rude. All right, buddy.
Talk to you soon.
We'll talk soon.
Adios.